My next guest is Charmaine Thainer. Charmaine is an interesting person in the perspective of AI because she works with parents, supporting parents of children with disabilities for inclusion within the school system, within the workplace, within the world. And her business is called Collaborative Special Education Advocacy. Say that three times fast. It's really about supporting parents in speaking up for their children. Charmaine has been an educator. She's taught within the school systems. She's the parent of a child with disabilities, and she has been an advocate for the last 15 years. She is using AI in a really different way, and I wanted to speak with her because she's using AI more on a business-to-consumer basis, in that she is showing parents how to use AI to advocate for their children. Because lots of times parents come to Charmaine and they don't maybe have the skills where they're used to dealing with the bureaucracy of a school system. They're not used to taking away the key points in meetings because maybe emotions are running high. They're there to get the best for their child, and they may not be really processing all of the steps as they go through the meeting. You know how it is when your mind is on one thing and you're focused on taking care of that one most important thing, your child, and you're trying to keep track of the points that someone is telling you or the red tape that you have to walk through to get what you need for your child. That's what Charmaine brings to this AI conversation. And that's how she uses AI with her parents to show them how to advocate properly for their child, how to create a plan of action when they come out of those meetings, how to write emails that actually say what needs to be said. I think you're really gonna like this episode of Unjaded. She's also gonna walk us through a few of the ways that she's using AI in her business and a surprising way that she accidentally created a podcast by using AI. Stick around, this is gonna be a good one.
So welcome in, Charmaine. It's so good to have you here on the Unjaded podcast.
Well, thank you for the invitation, Vicki. I think it will be a great conversation, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. So you have a little bit of a different, you're here on this series because you have a different way you're using AI, or let's say a different niche you're using AI in. We've been talking a lot on this series about how entrepreneurs are using AI for their own businesses, but you're really turning this into something that consumers can use in their lives. How are you doing that?
So yes, I love trying to figure out how to help parents even be more effective in their advocacy for their children with disabilities. And a lot of that advocacy depends on written communication, verbal communication, analyzing things. And it's a lot of tasks. And what I discovered when I was using AI was there are ways that we could help parents by, so what I did is I developed custom GPTs that have specific purposes and that have been trained to make sure that they ask enough questions at the beginning so the parent is always giving that human input and not just starting with, you know, write me an email. But for the email GPT, it asks, like, who are you sending this to? What tone do you want it to be? Assertive, conversational, empathetic? You know, so there's a lot of preliminary questions that parents answer. And so what I found is that it just gives parents so much more confidence, and almost, I think for a lot of parents, it feels like it evens that playing field of the power game between school and families. So yeah, it's been really exciting because there's so many different possibilities. As long as we remember, we have to have that human side, and we have to share with our AI tools our values, our voices, the vision that we have for our child, because without that seasoning of your AI tool, you just get these, really generic responses that people are easily seeing nowadays, and it turns people off, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I would assume, which may be incorrect, but I would assume that a lot of the parents that you're working with maybe don't have a background in using this type of tool. Maybe they're not entrepreneurs and this is all new to them. So how do you kind of walk them through, I'm going to teach you how to use a robot to communicate for your child?
Well, we have a group for parents that's called Connecting for Change. And part of what we do each month is have a workshop about using AI. So we've gone through some really basic little steps to do of like, how do you set up a GPT account? You know, where do you type in your response? There's a microphone. If you want, you could use your voice. So, you know, those just beginning steps. And I think my background as a special ed teacher, I was really adept at writing task analysis for different, you know, lessons for students. So that's one of the skills I have, is being able to break things down and making it bite-sized for parents.
Mm-hmm. I think as a generator as well, we didn't talk about your design really, but you're a 2-4 generator, and that step-by-step-by-step process is so beautiful in generators when they use it well and don't try to be manifesting generators to do all of the things. Such a gift. Yeah. Okay. So tell me how you got into this work. That's what I really want to know, is how did you become this parent advocate?
When I was a special ed teacher, I was a special ed teacher for 15 years. And at the end of my 15 years, I decided I really wanted to transfer to the classroom because I really believe in including kids with disabilities instead of segregating. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of on this career path, like change. But then also, I was pregnant with our son, and after he was born, we found out that he had Down syndrome. Mm. So here, my advocacy switched a little bit between advocating for my students to now being a parent. And everybody said to my husband and I, oh, you guys will do great. You're both special ed teachers. You have this all together. But you know, it's a little bit different raising a baby mm-hmm. with disabilities versus being an elementary teacher. And then when we went to some of our first IEP meetings for our son when he was 3, we were advocating for community preschool, which is not an option the district was giving us. And they wanted him to go to a special ed preschool class. So we had to do a lot of advocating. And we got so much pushback. And it was interesting because I was also a teacher in the district. So it was like, I wonder what my evaluation is going to be like. But I thought, you know, if Jim and I are getting this much pushback, and we're special ed teachers, and we know the law, and we know things, what happens to other parents in this process that have no idea of what their rights are? So I continued teaching, but I always knew that advocacy was going to be part of my career also. So yeah, after I retired from 30 years of teaching, I thought, you know, parents need somebody that knows the education system, that knows that lingo, that can empathize with teachers. I know what it's like to have 29 kids in the class, but also come from that parent perspective that unless you speak up for your child, your child's not going to get the education that they're, you know, deserving.
Mm-hmm. I have a personal feeling on some of this stuff, and that is that we have done a lot of screaming from the rooftops about including almost everyone except for the disabled. And I don't even know if that's the politically correct term, but we have someone that we both kind of mutually know a little bit, I think Aaron DeVries, and he has the Inclusive Dad podcast. I was brought to tears meeting with him over the things that he has gone through with his child. And It's horrifying to me how much attention we are putting on everyone being included except the people who we supposedly have been working on for decades. Like, how are so many still falling through the cracks? It's heartbreaking. I'm wondering if you have seen positive changes in the last 15 years, how the school system is, you have a look on your face like maybe it hasn't been positive enough.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we've had ebbs and flows in our education system. I was lucky that Dylan was lucky that he was born in 1988. And the end of the 80s, the 90s, there was more push for inclusive education. And a lot of that started from Canada. There's a lot of trailblazers in Canada that I've learned from. And they started coming to conferences in the United States. And so when Dylan was younger, I was riding that wave. However, it crashes real soon too. You know, and I always think about parents as trailblazers, and it's like, yes, we're blazing trails for kids to follow behind, but you know, that path gets overgrown so easy. And I mean, it was ironic because you know, Dylan was like 25 when we moved from Colorado to Idaho. And one of the last meetings I went to in Colorado as an advocate was the elementary school where Dylan went to. And it was a preschool parent that wanted her son to go someplace besides the special ed preschool class. And she asked me to come and help. And I was like, well, sure. And then it was, well, the special ed preschool class is not the only option. And the people, even the school people, were sitting there looking at me in the meeting like, what do you mean it's not the only option? And I'm like, yeah, because like 20 years ago, I filed due process and we had a mediation and it was decided that community preschools would be an option the district would support. But that like faded away. I thought I was setting a precedent, but that precedent didn't last for very long.
That must be discouraging to see go backwards. Yeah. So how do you see AI helping with this forward momentum that you'd like to have?
Well, it's just, I think, you know, on a kind of a basic level to help parents with kind of administrative tasks. Like I have a custom GPT that I built that analyzes a recording of your IEP meeting and will give you the key points and will also make this wonderful checklist of what was decided, who's doing it, when's it going to be done, you know, those action kind of plans that we need. And that tool has been so helpful. And I use it to analyze, you know, the conversations for the meetings that I've been in. And when I was first making the tool, you have to really know like prompt engineering, they call it, right? So I was really trying to figure out how to get this tool to do a good job because I use Otter to record meetings. But the summary from Otter, I'm just not really thrilled with. So anyway, I was saying, you know, to ChatGPT, I want you to use this transcription. I want you to make this summary. And it just kept coming back kind of like, I still don't see it, you know? So I asked Chat, which is so nice when you don't know how to do something, you can say, Chat, how do I do this? And it will tell you. So I'm like, Chat, what do I need to say so I really get a detailed summary here? And Chat said, don't use the word summarize, use the word analyze. And it made all the difference.
Okay.
So I do these prompts and everything, and then I have Chat help me like clarify, like if I want, you know, you to do this, what are the best instructions I can give you. And it will help you. And that's basically, if you've got instructions for a task, you can make a custom GPT. So there's custom GPTs like that that are helpful for those kinds of tasks. The one that I'm really excited about is, I call it the belief shifter. And it's to shift limiting beliefs. Because when you're a parent in a meeting and you're talking about your child having, you know, how important it is for them to have that sense of belonging, to be valued, to be seen as like a neat kid that has lots to contribute, you are talking to people that don't necessarily see your child from that lens, right? So the belief shifter is based on Brandon Lucero's thought reversals, and also what's his name? Robert Dilts' sleight of mouth patterns, where you discredit the limiting belief. So that's something that parents can use, and I use. Say, I know I'm going to be meeting tomorrow with this administrator. And one of the things that he always talks about when I bring up inclusion is blah, 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 you know, whatever. And then you can ask the belief shifter, like, what are the ways that I can help this person shift this belief? And again, the custom GPT is trained to ask questions at the beginning and, you know, all the way through the process. So that's, yeah, so there's so many applications. The other one that I really like is, I call it the negotiation coach. And I wanted parents to be able to role play with chat before they went to a meeting so they could kind of practice, like, what am I going to say when they say this? And it was interesting because I had chat play the administrator, and then, you know, I was the parent using it. And the administrator was always so nice. And I kept saying to chat, no, this is a person that doesn't listen. They interrupt, the da da da. And like, chat was too much of a people pleaser. So what I did is I had chat be the parent, and I had the parent play the role of the administrator, which worked out really well because the parent knows exactly those phrases that are going to be used in the meeting. And then chat could role play and model, this is a response that you can give. So I've trained it where it does, like, for the role playing, like, five back and forth conversations. And then chat will pause and say, do you want to continue with the role play? Do you want me to give you an analysis of the conversation and maybe what could have been improved? So it's, yeah, that's a really useful one.
Well, and I feel like there's a dance here. Because any parent, whether you're dealing with this issue or another, when you're dealing with the school or any other part of any other entity that has your child for any period of time, there's a dance. Like, you can't put those people, like, you know what I'm trying to say here. You have to have the people be on your side. You want them to be on the side of your child. And it's so hard because you don't want to say something that's going to be off-putting to them, but you want to stand up for your child. You need to stand up for your child. So I love how you are using chat to give parents these tools who may not have even thought about using something like ChatGPT. Like, I think as entrepreneurs, we're so in it with all of these upcoming tools. Right. But as consumers, so many times people are like, it's evil. It's, you know, you're crazy, but I love that you're using it like this. And I also love with your design, you've got such a wide split in your design. And one of the ways that we see wide splits here to serve the good of the planet is to solve world problems. So it's like, here you are solving this big issue for so many people. Yeah. So let's switch gears kind of a smidge. How are you using, I know that's how you're using ChatGPT or AI tools for your parents and what you're developing for parents. What about in your own business? Like, what are you creating with chat, or how are you using it there? Like your own business tasks, I mean.
And so I have custom GPTs that I've made just for my work. So one of the things is when I have like recordings from the IEP meeting or phone conversations with the parent, that I have a chat that can go back in and analyze like what the main problem is that the parent expressed, what they've already tried, you know, and what the success rate was, what's the final outcome that they would like to have. And so then that helps me. And what I love is, like, I was looking the other day because I have this spreadsheet now of, you know, exact quotes from what parents say. So when I do messaging, I can use parent words. And I have, you know, on the spreadsheet, like, this is what the problem was for this parent. And so now I can go back and I can have chat say, now, like, out of all these comments, what are the top five problems that parents are expressing? And so those kinds of tasks, you know, chat's really good at. And let's see, I was trying to think of some other ones that I use other AI tools too, like, right, you know, I mean, I use Metrical to schedule my content, you know, so that's like using.
Okay, slow the train here.
Oh, sorry.
I've never heard of Metrical.
Oh.
Tell me everything.
So Metrical does a few different things than SmarterQ does. So a couple of years ago, I switched to Metrical. But yeah, that's where you can schedule your social media posts ahead of time. And so I use that kind of a tool. I probably use Canva for graphic design. To use Canva almost every day.
So you're using the AI component inside of Canva?
Well, not necessarily. I've just started kind of playing with the AI component. But yeah, as far as the tool, I think it's going to, you know, Canva is like really accelerating with other AI kind of, you know, benefits from it. I still feel like some of it, like image quality, you know, creating images, you know, it's still Canva's kind of still on the basic side of some of that. And as far as like written, you know, like you can have AI magic, right? But I don't use that because I use chat, you know. So, oh, let me tell you, and it would be fun to see how you respond as a podcaster. So I'm in a AI, you know, course. Molly Mahoney's a person that does it, and she was showing us different tools. And so she was showing us Notebook, which is connected with Google. And I had kind of heard about Notebook, but it was like, I don't know. So I went to check. Well, here, I had an account with Notebook. I didn't even know. In November of 2024, evidently, I uploaded my PDF to Notebook, and without me knowing it, Notebook created this AI-assisted podcast about my book.
Wow.
And I'll have to give you the link. You won't believe how natural it sounds. So, and my book it's like 120 pages or something. It's not like, you know, terribly long, but still there's a lot of concepts in it. It's called The Art of Advocacy. But Notebook did this 24-minute AI-assisted podcast. It's a gentleman and a woman. I don't think you can pick the voices. And the one thing I think is a little sexist, the man talks more and the woman kind of gives comments. So I thought that was interesting. But they have this back and forth conversation about my book. And I had my husband listen to it. And he thought it was like a regular podcast. Yeah. So now I'm thinking, what if I take the audio files from my Facebook Lives, put them in a notebook, get a AI-assisted podcast about my Facebook Live and use that in marketing, you know? And I could even, if it's a 24-minute clip, I could, you know, make it into smaller clips. So what do you think as a podcaster about AI-assisted podcasting?
Well, I think it's more so, I mean, the line that I walk with AI is that I do still find it slightly terrifying. I find it slightly terrifying how we are outsourcing. Like, I don't know if you've seen the MIT study. By the time this airs, my first episode will have gone out that talks about it and how we are. I know some people want to think of it as higher consciousness. Some people think it's the devil, but I think we are giving up our own souls and our own creativity willingly to this. And it doesn't matter whether we give it up to AI or Netflix or alcohol or whatever we numb ourselves with.
That's true.
And I feel like it's really easy for us to just take ourselves out of the picture. And what I would say from a human design perspective is that when you said that, like, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing that that can happen. And then that gives you all this extra content. But I'm thinking, dear God, let that be extra content, because as a 2-4, your people need you. They want you as a generator. We want your big aura drawing us in. Like, we need you. And it's still you, yes, but is it really still you, the same? And I believe there's going to be a move. I'm already seeing it with the entrepreneurs I work with, where we are clinging to our own authenticity and voices now so much more than ever before, while we're still using these tools. Like, I feel like as entrepreneurs, we have this dance that we're doing right now. We're 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and trying to figure it out. So yeah, I mean, very, very tempting for extra content and also slightly horrifying.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. And I think, you know, so I have this book that's called The Art of Advocacy, which is a lot of like communication strategies and supposed soft skills. Mm-hmm. And so now with AI, it's not a book, but I call it The Art of AI Advocacy. Mm-hmm. And my logo for it is the heart at the center, because you have to be there as this human. Mm-hmm. And so one of the, you know, first there's like two GPTs that I like parents to use. One is describing their values, their voice. And in mine, I have like an advocacy voice GPT, and I write my definition in there. On Inclusive Ed, I write my definition of universal design for learning. And it's like, I don't want it going out to the internet and just grabbing all these things. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, this is my perspective. This is what I want to be added here. And then, especially for parents, is to verify things, because, you know, especially with like, you know, legal terms, you know, legal documents, you know, they'll cite a source and you have to verify, you have to verify. And then the other part of the human, you know, at the end of, you know, after you've gotten the results, is to also edit back to your voice. So yeah, it's, you know, and people talk about AI as a thought partner, but I also look at it as this creative partner, because so many times I'll ask chat to do a task, and at the end of the task, it will say, do you want this as a checklist now, or would you like it in a table? And it's like, yes, yes, I never thought of that. Yeah, I want a checklist. So yeah, but I understand what you mean. And, you know, it's just, it's one more piece, kind of, you know, it feels like that dehumanizing part of our society and culture. And then I look at then the need to me, like, art is a way to replace that being taken out and spread out. You know, if I can come back and do something creative, then I can feel grounded again in who I am, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there have been a few guests talking about how to ground ourselves before we use it, ground ourselves after we use it. It's not going anywhere. AI is not going anywhere.
Right.
But I think that we have this opportunity to use it for good and also to stay true to ourselves. That's going to be the mission, I think. And I mean, I love the way you're using it. It's so different than what I've been experiencing in speaking with entrepreneurs. So for your GPTs, are you doing all of those in ChatGPT? Or are you using another tool?
Right now I'm using all chat. Since I reintroduced Notebook, I have been trying Gemini, and I do a lot of Google-based things, you know? And so, yeah, so I'm playing with Gemini, and they have something similar. I don't know what they call it, if it's like a Gemini bot or something, but I would think that my instructions and my knowledge files that I use in ChatGPT, I could probably insert those into Gemini's tools, right? So yeah, chats. I've been learning about MindPal, which mm-hmm. can do like workflows and like tedious administrative kinds of tasks, you know, that take time. But I would like to be creating something versus doing administrative tasks, you
yeah.
know.
Same.
So, yeah. But there's a lot of different tools. I haven't done much with imaging. I know some people do that, or like with videos and everything. I just, you know, haven't prioritized time to play with that part. But I know that's something that other people use it for.
Mm-hmm. So if we go back to the advocacy piece for a minute, what do you think is the most important thing that a parent can do, or that someone who knows a parent who has a child who's dealing with exclusivity issues, what can we do? Where do we start?
I think reaching out, and a lot of times that's reaching out to another parent, and that might be like on Facebook or social media. However, you get such varied answers when you depend on like a Facebook group, you know. So I really think finding people that you trust, that you can have a relationship with. I mean, one of the things I've made a conscious decision for with my custom GPTs that help parents advocate is they're only going to be available for parents who are in our membership group, because I don't want people just taking the tool and it's like, great, I got this figured mm-hmm. out, you know? And it's like, no, I want to be there helping you shape how you're going to say it. What do we do now with the response? Because I want people to know it's got to be connected with a human advocate. Mm-hmm. And so finding someone that you can have that connection with is really important.
And do you still run your Facebook group? I can't remember. Do you still run your Facebook group?
Yeah. So I have a Facebook group that's called The Art. Well, the Facebook group is a private membership.
Okay.
It's called Connecting for Change. My public Facebook page is called The Art of Advocacy. And I do Facebook Lives a couple times a month that are ways that parents can find a lot of good information. And then I also upload those videos to my YouTube channel. So it's, you know, a library there that parents can go to also.
Yeah. And maybe a podcast coming from Notebook.
No.
<So, laughs> We'll link all that stuff up in the show notes along with your book so that you're easy to find for folks. So what about Dylan now?
So Dylan is renting a house with two other, well, actually one roommate left. So he has one roommate who also has a disability. So they get assistance from Medicaid and Medicare mm-hmm. for community living. So they have support staff that take shifts. So, you know, 24/7, somebody's at the house to help with cooking, to take them shopping, you know, grocery shopping and different things. So he's 36 years old now. It's like, oh my goodness. And he wanted to go to college after high school because that's what his brother and sister did. So we, through a lot of advocacy, made that happen for Dylan. And he audited classes at the University of Colorado for 4 years. And then when he was working at our local grocery store, he had a job at Wendy's during the summer. When we moved to Idaho, he was still living with us, and we were lucky in Idaho. There wasn't a wait list for adult support, so we were able to interview different agencies and find the one that was a good fit that would provide the support for him. He's done some speaking with me at different conferences. He's really a good speaker, and he's just kind of a natural about pulling the audience in for engagement. So he usually talks about how he was fully included in school and college and the differences that that made for him. So yeah. And then watching Netflix is probably what he likes to do the most.
Like a lot of other people.
I know.
Yeah. So if you were, when you were talking about how you found the support for him, who he's living on his own, and could you have used ChatGPT for that? Could you have used AI to find these services?
I think what you could do, and that's a good, it's another GPT. But I mean, that would be good because you could have a GPT that helps parents know what kinds of questions to ask mm-hmm. when your child is moving out, and you know, what support is it really going to look like, and you know, the qualifications of the support, what's the turnover, and you know, all these kind of nuanced questions that, I mean, I didn't know what to ask, you know. And I met a mom like real quickly that like showed me the ropes when we moved here. But yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I think could help is for parents to know what kinds of questions to ask and get real clear on the services. And then, I mean, if your child is getting adult support services, there's usually still an annual meeting to write a plan. It's not as in-depth as like a school plan, but so, I mean, parents could still use that GPT to record the conversation and then ask chat to go back and pick out the key points. Because as a parent in school meetings or adult meetings, it's pretty emotional because you're talking about your child. And so to be able to really process everything that was said, it's pretty challenging. So yeah, there would be a lot of tools that parents could use for that too.
Mm-hmm. And I like your tip about in the very beginning about analyzing instead of summarizing.
Right.
Yeah.
The other tip I would give everybody is once you get a response from an AI tool is to say, how can this be improved? Which is different than saying, improve this or write this better, or because when you ask, how can this be improved? You learn and you become a better writer because chat will say, you know, well, this is too long, you know, it needs to be condensed or punchier or whatever. Your point is kind of murky here. You know, we could strengthen this. And then after you read through all the different suggestions from improvements, you can pick, you know, which ones you want it to improve, and you can ask it, okay, then implement these. So it really has helped me as a writer because it's, you know, it's a, And you also can say things like, be brutally honest when you critique this, because Chad is a people person or a pleaser.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, that sounds nice, Chad, but I really need it to be, you know, more critical.
Yeah. Lots of times it tells us what we want to hear.
Right.
Yeah. And how we want to hear it.
Right.
Yeah. You're not stuck. You're growing. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for this conversation. It's been really interesting to hear how you can use ChatGPT outside of the entrepreneurial space and for your work with parents and advocating. So where's the best place for people to touch base with you?
So I think if you use my link, IEP.today/Charmaine, that has all my social media links and everything there. So just remember that one, IEP.today/Charmaine.
Awesome. I'll link that up in the show notes so people can find you in all the places. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you, Vicki. And I look forward to working more with you and learning about my human design.
It's exciting.
Human
stuff.
Design and GPT, right?
Yeah.
Totally opposite, polar opposite.
Yeah. But there's a way that all of these things come together. And I think human design is one of the ways that we can use our chats better, use our AI tools better, is by knowing our own design and who we are to start with. So, yeah.
Right.
Thank you for being here.
Alrighty. Take care.